Thank you so much for being here.
That'd be the one.
So before we start, can I just remind everybody to mute your cell phones?
Wonderful. I'm going to try to do this without a microphone, but if you guys need the microphone, you tell me. Okay. I have a very loud voice. Well, thank you so much for having me. This is normally an hour and a half to 2 hours, so I really condensed it. So I'll kind of fly through it. All of my contact information is on the table. I have a bunch of handouts for you guys. This is really impressive. I've actually started a couple neighborhood watch programs out in the county. And when I pulled in and saw that light going in your entryway, this is so cool. So thank you. This is really impressive. Madison Police is very fortunate to have you guys. I cannot tell you all of the homicide, drug, you name the investigations I've been a part of. Our best eyes and ears are our neighborhoods. When we do canvases, that's who we go to. So thank you for being so proactive. I'm not going to read from the slides, so hopefully everyone can see it. I actually don't stand still at all, so I'll walk around. Here's what I'm going to cover tonight. Is anyone, and hopefully you can read this, anyone familiar with the three active shooter plans on the bottom? Have you heard of it? Which one are you familiar with, Steve?
Run, hide, fight,
okay. And that's the most common. That's Homeland Security. They put that together. I actually use all three active shooter plans when I put this training together. The sheriff pulled me from my patrol spot in January and said, we need to get out in the community and we need to talk to people about surviving active shooters. We're not immune here. So I used all three of these. I'll go into more detail with them later. But the biggest message is we cannot be passive. This is passive. Whether you're in church, you're in your workplace, you're at your kid or grandkid's school, just going in the corner or just crawling under a table and praying that law enforcement gets to you before an active killer, it is too passive. We have to be proactive, and I'll talk a lot about that. I do have to give my warning. Being in law enforcement for 16 years, I've seen things that I never thought I would see. Unfortunately, no one calls 911 to say, having a great day. How are you doing? So I am very blunt, and I am going to show you some videos that may be tough to watch. If at any time you need to step out or you don't want to watch them, I just wanted to give my warning. But if people are truly going to do mental preparation and mental scripting and have situational awareness, I have to show you what's really happening. So with that being said, let me know if you guys want the lights dim your night. I don't want to lose anyone on sleep. And I guarantee you won't. Don't worry. The first video I'm going to show is how to survive an active shooter. LA County Sheriff's Office put this video together. It is a training video. And I can send you links to all of my videos after if it's something you want. But you can find this on YouTube. So we will start with this and we will go from there.
A morning that began like any other turned tragic today when an employee opened fire on his supervisor and fellow co-workers.
Students, parents, teachers are asking why today after a bloody rampage plunged this campus into tragedy.
Details are just coming in, but we're being told that a heavily armed gunman opened fire this evening at the mall food court behind me. There's no official word on any casualties yet, but one eyewitness reported seeing at least six people shot.
Active shooter, a gunman or gunmen killing or attempting to kill people in a confined, populated area.
Like a vampire. You sleep. You ain't got no babies at home keeping you up.
What the hell?
We tried. I'm sorry. We're gonna have to let you know.
Active shooter killings are a tragic, unpredictable reality, and one that's becoming more common.
Since 2006, the U.S. has averaged an active shooter event with four or more deaths every 2.9 months.
Even though the number of active shooter events has been increasing, your odds of being involved in one are still very slim. But just like fire drills and earthquake preparedness, making a plan in advance can make all the difference. If you do find yourself in the middle of a senseless attack, the why doesn't matter.
Hey. Hey, buddy.
Hey, everything's happening.
What matters is surviving.
On average, 20 mass shootings take place in the U.S. every year.
Killers usually choose their victims at random. They look for easy targets. So the harder you are to see or to hit, the safer you are. When an attack starts, if you can find a way out of the location, do so.
Get out.
If you stay calm and think clearly, even in the middle of a life and death event, you improve your chances of making it out. Visualize your movements in advance.
What are we gonna do?
Okay, get us down. Stay behind me. Stay down.
Use cover, something that will stop a bullet, and concealment, something that at least keeps you out of sight.
Attention, South Philly units, code 3 response needed regarding a 245 ESV 417. Town Center shopping mall. Suspects wearing a face mask. Possible body armor.
Use any available means to get out, including emergency exits or windows. Most restaurants and retail locations will also have exits in the back, through kitchens or stockrooms. Even in the best cases, police are minutes, not seconds away. You must take action to protect yourself.
Everybody stay calm, it's probably just a drill.
If you can help others without putting yourself in unnecessary danger, do so.
What's your name?
Lori.
It's gonna be okay.
If you can't move safely to an exit, get to a room or a confined area you can lock down. Then secure the location.
Secure your location.
Everybody get in this corner, away from the windows. Get the emergency bag from my desk. Help her.
Drywall won't stop a bullet, but there are steps to take to stay safe. Lock or barricade the doors, turn off the lights, move away from any windows, and silence your cell phone.
The other door doesn't lock. Move desks or anything, just block it.
A modern emergency bag can include a first aid kit, gloves, emergency plans for the building, and casualty cards to alert first responders to any wounded victims.
Most active shooter situations are over in 10 to 15 minutes.
Attention, Lakeville units, code 3 is needed. We're at 245 GSV 417. It's going to be at Alexandria College. Multiple victims down.
Law enforcement's first responsibility when entering an active shooter situation is to stop the suspect, not to render aid to the victims. Medical teams will enter the scene as soon as the suspect is no longer a threat or is confirmed in another location. Silence any cell phones and remain quiet. Do not alert the shooter to your presence.
Defend yourself.
escape the location and you can't shelter in place, you may have to defend yourself as a last resort. Almost anything can be turned into an improvised weapon. Look for something that can disrupt the shooter's ability to see, breathe, or control their weapon. State of readiness and awareness, looking for any aggressive movements. So keep your hands visible and follow any commands you are given.
I just saw one shooter.
Especially in developing situations, engaging law enforcement, running toward them, reaching for them, even to thank them, could put people at risk.
So again, that is LA County Sheriff's Office, How to Survive an Active Shooter. There's a lot of key words in that video. Improvised weapons, concealment, cover. Improvised weapons, have you thought in your home what you would do? You know, you talked about crime in the neighborhood, what you would do if you heard glass shattered. Have you thought about what you have in your home for improvised weapons? These are things that we're going to talk about. I'm also a negotiator on Dane County's SWAT team, so that's allowed me to go to a lot of tactical training and debriefs on previous active shooter events. Columbine back in 99, this was truly one of the first active shooter events to unfold on TV. One thing you need to understand that Columbine changed for law enforcement is prior to 99, I don't know if there's any former law enforcement in the room, there were an active shooter, and I'll just use this building. Law enforcement would arrive and set up a perimeter. After 99, that changed. It takes too long for a SWAT team to get put together to arrive on scene, which is what would have happened. We would have had a perimeter created for Madison SWAT. Law enforcement now trains if there's an active shooter, we are responding, we are immediately going in to stop the threat. And it's good for you guys to know that. There's a survivor from Virginia Tech that I'll talk about. And she talks about watching the cops running by as she's laying there shot three times, trying to have the mindset that she's going to live. So understand law enforcement will be coming, and that the first thing they're there to do is to stop the threat. Sandy Hook, this was a hard debrief for me to sit through. I wear a lot of hats in life, and being a mom is one of them. 26 and 7-year-olds were killed and 6 teachers within anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 minutes. There's different times depending on where you read it. I'm not going to go into a lot of details about this, but one thing I do want you to understand, those 6 teachers were heroes, so they took their last dying breath. In order to lock those classroom doors, you had to go out into the hallway and put a key into the door lock. I don't know any human being with shots fired, kids running, who could do that. So it brings up a lot of conversation. A lot of schools now, the doors are automatically locked. They're locked throughout the day. When I meet with businesses, I ask them, do you have secure areas on your floor that if people had to run and be in a secure area, they could access it? Or does only the janitor know how to lock that door? You know, I was recently at the doctor's office. Those doors don't lock. So you have to think, this is why you have to have options. You then need to think, what could I use to barricade this door? Because there's a shooter down the hall, I know I can't get to an exit, but I need to be safe. And this is what we'll talk about. My piece of the pie in this training is to get you thinking and have these conversations start. This shooting was this past February. This monster was served a restraining order early in the morning. After he was served it, he drove to his work, which is a lawnmower factory, and he was shooting at cars going the wrong way down the highway. He got to work and he started shooting people. And I talk about this because within your own neighborhood, within your own family and workplace, do you have concerns for someone? Maybe they're in a bad domestic violence relationship, or maybe they have a drug addiction. Are there ways to get those people help before things escalate, or before something does become violence in the workplace? And I did bring some local helplines. Part of my role, and part of Madison neighborhood officers, our role is to be familiar with those resources and try to get them to people. At no time will you hear me name any of these shooters. I think the media gives them more attention than they deserve, so I will not name them. So what is an active shooter? And you guys can read this. This is Homeland Security's definition. But understand, it's an active killer. It's an active assailant. If you've watched the news lately, in Minnesota, they just had an active killer at a mall that was stabbing people. Over the summer, there was an active killer that drove a vehicle into a parade of people at a parade. So it's not just guns. It is obviously a highest percentage with firearms. But these are unpredictable, and they evolve quickly. These monsters are going for mass numbers in as quick of amount of time as they can, which is why you to have this training and you to think about how can you delay them getting you? How can you distract them if they do get to the area that you're in? So time is critical, and this is truly why we're having these conversations about empowerment. So Madison Police, I don't know how many of you have had to call law enforcement, whether it's for an EMS call, a car crash, or a break-in, what as you just talked about. But law response time isn't as quick as you always want it to be. You could wait a minute, and it would seem like 10 minutes. You truly look at these numbers, the average response time, we are not there quick enough. By the time that 911 call is made, by the time it's dispatched, by the time the officer gets in their vehicle to get here, too many people have been injured or killed. So truly, you guys are the first responders. It's not us. These cowards are going to kill themselves as soon as they know we're on scene, or they've injured or killed too many people. Does anyone in here do mental scripting at all throughout the day? So for example, if this happens, I'm going to do this. In law enforcement, I do this a lot. I'll drive by a school and I'll say, I hear there's an active shooter there. I'm going to go to this door. If I can't get in, I'm going to ram that door with my squad. I go through scenarios like that all the time. That way, if it ever really happens, I feel I'm prepared. I do that in my own home also. If I hear a noise down here, I'm going to tell my kids to go into this area that's secure. You know, I truly believe the body can't go where the mind hasn't been. I do feel like I'm losing my mind some days, so it's really concerning. But, you truly will step into action if you've thought about these things. All of these locations I have on there, there's been an active killer. And I can guarantee everyone in this room has been up to at least one of these places in the past week. So when you do that mental scripting, don't just do it for church. Don't just do it for work. You need to do it for every scenario. Even tonight, I looked right where my exits were. As soon as I walked down here, I looked where my exits were. If I need to get out in a hurry, granted, I got the gun, I will stick around. Don't think I'm going to be the first one out. I saw you looking at me. But you need to do that. When you go to a hotel, there's a reason they tell you where the exits are. And this just shows those 13 years that FBI, Homeland Security studied, they kind of laid it out so people saw where active shooter events were taking place. Everyone always thinks it's schools. 45% of these were in commerce. Areas of commerce. And it'll be really interesting with all of the events we've had in the last 2 years to see what this looks like. But it's just to show we're not immune. It can happen here. I just put together some of the active shooter events that have happened in Wisconsin. I'm sure you remember most of these. Brookfield in 2012, that was a spa shooting. That was domestic related. Oak Creek, Sikh Temple, that monster actually attended a service prior because they do counter surveillance, which is why programs like yours, neighborhood watch programs, are so important. Counter surveillance, people that want to do things, they will go test out exit doors. They will test out security. Virginia Tech, that monster it came out afterwards, was seen, there was an Asian male seen chaining the three exit doors of that hall where the shooting took place. Mm-hmm. Guess what happened the day of the shooting? All three doors were chained. No one had reported it. Mm-hmm. And Nicole, I actually was at a business this morning and a gentleman raised his hand and his nephew was one of them injured in the Annabelle shooting. You know, imagine you send your kids off to prom. And I asked him, I said, how did they find out? I said, they saw it on Facebook. That's how they found out that there was a shooting where their child was at. Mm-hmm. So understand it can happen here and you need to be prepared. I pray it never does, the chances of it happening are slim, but you have to be prepared. And this just shows you active shooter events around the United States. So there is no accurate profile. Obviously, it's a larger percentage of males. They come from all walks of life. One thing they all have in common is they all have been wrong. Someone wronged them, whether it's the bully at school, the ex-girlfriend, spouse, employer. They all feel they've been wronged. So this bottom bullet is really important for you guys. And again, as a neighborhood watch program, I can't stress this enough. People often say, as you were saying earlier, law enforcement will get a call. And they'll say, well, I saw something. I didn't think I should bother you. It was a week ago. You need to call when it happened. But I put this in there because so often people will say, well, I don't have kids that go to that school. I don't attend that church. So it seems suspicious, but it doesn't really affect me. It is going to affect you. When they debriefed Sandy Hook, that community got so many additional threats from other monsters around the world that wanted to finish what was started. It is going to affect the community, which is why the Department of Homeland Security, see something, say something, cannot stress that enough. Some other things he shared post-Sandy Hook, the media even was showing up at local floral shops asking for the home addresses of the victims. These are parents that are buying coffins for their children. I highly doubt they even want to look at a TV camera. So I say that with a lot of passion. You know, this may be your community you live in, or this may be your community you only work in, and you live 40 miles away. Understand it will affect you. Do not think it won't. And do not deny. We all deny because we want to feel safe. I can guarantee you've all heard a noise in the middle of the night, and you're like, it's probably the wind, it's probably the dogs. We do that because we want to feel safe. When I do our prescription pill presentations, I present with this amazing woman who lost her son to a heroin overdose. And she talks about the power of denial. I mean, the first time I heard her speak, and she said, I denied that noise, that thump I heard that night. I didn't want it to be him. You deny it because you don't want it to be. He died of a heroin overdose. So don't deny it. If you think you hear gunshots, go with it. Don't make up. It's probably fireworks at 7 a.m. on a Friday. That is really loud. So I said you were going to fall asleep. We added this. We want to make sure that you would not believe how many people have not heard gunshots. But what I want you to understand is gunshots in a basement down here versus gunshots outside are going to sound different. Different types of weapons, an automatic versus a handgun versus they're going to sound different. So you just have to go with your gut. If it sounds like gunshots, react. I'm going to show you a really short video, and there's a lot of messages from this video, but there was a fire at a concert in 2003, a Great White concert. You guys may remember it. I'm going to show you this short video, but I want you to watch the denial, the people that are denying that the place is on fire. I want you to watch where everyone runs to. So, for example, in this building, everyone comes down here for a meeting. I guarantee if something happens, we're all going right back out where we came in, which is why it's so important to know your exits. Same thing at the movie theater. I know everyone's going back to that main door. I'm watching where my other exits are to get out. Another thing you're going to hear in this video is someone is yelling, "Where's my husband? Where's my husband?" When we had the shooting at Easttown Mall last year, some of my partners were on scene pretty immediate, and they recalled seeing people running back in towards the center of the mall because they've been separated from their families. So you have to have a plan with your own family, and I tell my kids this in church. If I'm out getting communion and you're sitting down and something happens, just get out. Don't come looking for me. So just watch all this as you watch this movie. Keep in mind, here's the main exit, and there's a huge wall of windows off to the side. Windows make a wonderful exit if you need to get out. Now I have to... Right there at that main entrance. About 100 people died in this fire. That was only a minute and a half worth that I showed you. So don't deny. The Twin Towers, they talk about the same thing. People that denied what was happening. You have to react. So again, these are the three active shooter plans that the chiefs of Dane County all support, all three of them. I don't care what verbiage you use. You just have got to have a plan. And I have handouts on all of them. Run, hide, fight. This is the most common one. Some people don't like it because they don't like the word fight. They don't want to think of it as you're going out to fight a shooter. I don't care what you use. You need to have a plan. So there's run, hide, fight. There's avoid, deny, defend. Avoid, deny, defend. This is a program put together by the Alert Center in Texas. I don't know if you can see this, but I do love this bottom bullet. It says, do not fight fairly. This is about survival. I cannot stress that. You have my permission. You need to win. You have to win. You have to win. And again, there's handouts. I use ALICE. I am an ALICE instructor. I like ALICE. I like the acronyms when I'm speaking to groups. And this is what it stands for. This active shooter plan was put together by Greg and Lisa Crane. He was in law enforcement in Texas, and she was in education. One, I think it was Christmas or New Year's Eve, they were having dinner, and he said to her, what do you do in the schools if there's an active shooter? And she said, well, we shut the door, we turn the lights off, we put all the kids in the corner, and we wait for you to get there to save the day. And he said, no wonder so many people are dying. We're being passive. We're not being proactive. So they put together... the ALICE Institute. Two key words you need to remember, and I've said them several times, delay and disrupt. How can you delay that shooter from getting to you? For example, if we were down here and we heard something upstairs, simply getting these doors shut, that is a delay. Securing these doors, that is a delay. Disrupt, suddenly those doors open and we're still in here. What can we grab to throw at him? I can see a lot of things in this room. A lot of things. So I had to add this slide because so often people will say, for example, someone today said, what if I can't break open my office window and I'm stuck in there? Well, then counter is probably going to be your option. What if I'm in the elevator? I can't tell you what you're going to do. That's why you have to have options. Again, Virginia Tech, getting out those doors, they thought that was their option, and it wasn't. So you have to have a plan, and you have to have a backup plan when that plan doesn't work. I've really touched on this, the traditional school response. As I said, Lisa Crane's answer, That is what a passive school response, church response, Easttown Mall response is going to look like. It's going to be deadly. Christina Anderson is the young lady that I spoke about. She was shot 3 times in Virginia Tech. She attended our SWAT conference this spring, and she spoke to a room packed with law enforcement about being proactive and not being passive. She also talked to us about mentality. And I'll tell you, every day I put this gun on, I tell myself, I'm going home. I do it every day. I do that. That way, I have that thought process going. If something happens, I know there's going to be laundry and dishes and homework. It's all going to be waiting for me, but I tell myself I'm going home. I'm going to skip that short video just for time. But I want to share with you what she shared with us. So lessons learned from Virginia Tech and how I can really show you passive versus proactive. So this shooter in Virginia Tech killed 2 people over at a dorm. Shooter then came over to this hall where he eventually made his way to the second floor. I don't know at what point the person in the hallway was killed, but the first classroom that shooter went to was room 206. That classroom did not have an alert. There was not an alarm that went off. There wasn't a PA announcement saying shooter, man with a gun. Their alert was shots fired in the classroom. So they were passive. 10 were killed. He then went to room 207. He went in, killed 5 people, injured 6, and for some reason he came in and out of the classrooms. When he went out that first time, they were smart. They were ready. They barricaded that door using bodies and desks. That shooter was not able to get back in that classroom. Their proactiveness saved a lot of lives in that classroom. Again, these doors did not lock. A simple door lock can get shot off, but it also can delay them. Room 211, again, he came in. They sat passively. He went out. They tried to set up a barricade, and it wasn't strong enough. It's got to be something that's going to keep a door shut. He was able to get back in. Quick killed 12 in that classroom. Now, room 204, this professor was a Holocaust survivor. When he heard those gunshots, he said to those kids, get out the window. That man used his own body to keep that door shut. He saved a lot of lives. Unfortunately, a door and a wall, it is not going to stop gunfire, and he was one of the victims in that room. He is a true hero, and he was prepared. Room 205, this was the last classroom he went to before he killed himself in 211. They were ready. They had all day. They heard this going down. They had a barricade set up with desks and bodies, and he was not able to get in that room, and no one was killed. So I don't know a better way to show you passiveness versus proactiveness than a real-life horrible event. So alert, and I know everyone in here, some may be retired, some may still work. Some attend church, some volunteer at schools. Think of the buildings you're in. Is there a way to get that alert out in this church? If we're all down here in a meeting and people are upstairs, is there somehow a way to say, there is a man with a gun in the parking lot, there is a man with a gun entering the building? A lot of these big office buildings, they have no way to alert every level where the threat is. And sure, people say you could pull a fire alarm. Yeah, that'll get people running, but they may run towards the threat. And they're not getting the information they need. So any way to get that message out, and it could be just yelling. It could be you just yelling. An apartment building. Plain language. No longer do they recommend using codes. In Sandy Hook, they used a code black. There were grandparents and parents at the school for a ginger house making day. They don't know what a code black is. If you're at the mall this weekend and you hear code purple, you think there's a sale at Boston store? I mean, you don't know what that is. So it needs to be plain language. There is a man with a gun near room 103. There is a lady with a knife in the basement. And it could be just yelling. It doesn't have to be a PA system. Not sure if you guys are aware of this, but Dane County Emergency Management, you can sign up for their alerts. I highly recommend it. Next Door app, I don't know if you guys use this in your neighborhood. Wonderful. The Metro Market shooter that happened in the grocery store this year, there were law enforcement that lived in a neighborhood near that. and someone sent out alerts through Nextdoor app, and people were able to get their kids inside. So lockdown, this is a semi-secure. Again, I'm gonna use this building. We're in here for a meeting. Can we can't get to the exits. Can we get to a room, and can we secure that room? In your workplace, do you have safe areas you can get to that you can secure? You may work in a cubicle. Do you know closets nearby that you could possibly get in that lock or that you could barricade? Make yourself a hard target. And if you decide to go into lockdown, you're still looking for a second exit. Is there now another exit you can get out? Is there now a window you can break to get out? And if there isn't, then you gotta look around that room. What do you have for weapons if that door opens? I'm gonna show you real quickly. There was an active shooter at UCLA campus this June. I want you to watch what these kids did to barricade doors that did not lock.
Terrified students barricade themselves inside classrooms at UCLA as a crazed gunman stalks the campus. But there's a problem.
Our doors open outward, so it was very hard to try to lock it because it didn't have a lock.
It's a flaw that could have proved tragic. Some UCLA students improvised, using anything they could find to barricade themselves inside. Chairs, tables, printers, even a foosball table.
What is that? Did something fall?
These frightened students tried to barricade themselves inside a library. You can see one guy trying to wrap his belt around the door hinge to no avail.
Okay, you're in an active shooter situation. You hear the shots go off. You're gonna...
Safety expert Bill Stanton showed me simple ways to bar a door.
A screwdriver. This class happens to have one. So I'm gonna put it in, I'm gonna wedge it, and I'm going to step away from the door because you don't want to be in the way of the door.
Now we have a producer on the other side. Try to open the door. And she can't get in at all. And a folding chair can be used to bar a door too.
Set it. Step away.
I haven't tried those yet. That's pretty impressive.
A strong barricade, if unthinkable happens, as it did at UCLA.
We want to get as much there. Let's go. Chairs. Keep on moving. It's never enough. Come on. More stuff.
We're learning.
Love his accent. So again, you know, those chairs and desks that we then put in front of those doors because we can't lock them, are they going to keep him out? No. But they're enough to delay him and distract him. That while he's trying to get through that, if we can't get out, we then can be waiting to hit him with another chair or another table as he's working, he or she is working their way through. This was just a screenshot I did. Imagine as a parent or a grandparent texting your child saying, set up a barricade, coaching you to do that. So here's just some different pictures of barricades. Again, this is why you need to do that mental scripting within your home. You may have areas that the door doesn't lock. This you saw in the video, like these doors here, if we were to all run down in here and then we realized we can't lock these doors, taking a belt and wrapping it around that arm of the door in a secure knot will keep that shut. We actually did it in the training. Or a rope, or taking a belt between those two arms of that door to keep it secure. Again, they know cops are on their way. Even an extension cord, using it to an outward door, using it to stay shut. A simple door wedge is a really inexpensive way to keep an inward opening door shut. Wedge it under there. So again, make sure you have your phones on silent. Don't be an easy target. Again, if you work in an open space like this, you may not have that desk and that office door to shut down, so know where you would run to. Know where your options are. Also realize, I don't know if in your neighborhoods, but we oftentimes put neighborhoods or businesses on lockdown because we're dealing with another threat in the community. So be familiar with that also. It may not mean the threat is in your church. The threat may be across the street. Also keep in mind, again, if we all ran down here and we're now all in that side room, we may have injured people in there with us. It could be hours until a police officer gets to the room we're at. So you may have to render aid. In Virginia Tech, those kids made tourniquets out of extension cords and projector cords to help stop the bleed. You think college kids just know how to make ramen noodles? I'm really impressed with a situation like that. And you can bleed out in as quick as 3 minutes. You know, what can you do to make suddenly, you know, I'm taking your scarf and your vest and we're going to put pressure. You know, you need to think about this because it could be a long time. So inform, again, if you ever have to call 911, you can immediately get out what's going on and where it's going on. Say that first. There's a Columbine clip from one of the teachers that called, and of course she's here, but she's rambling and rambling, and you're saying, tell them where in the school the threat is. So they need to know where the threat is, you have a description. Remember, knowledge is power. A lot of people don't know this, but you can text 911 in Bain County. Obviously, don't do it, you know, while you're driving, of course, because that's bad. Don't text them that there's a cat in the tree. This needs to be something where it's not safe for you to make that phone call. Because it will be a little more delayed than a 911 call, but if you're hiding somewhere and that's the only way you can make that information known. So, counter, again, this is the fight. This is you go home or they go home. So I want you to think about, let's use this room. What do we have for improvised weapons right here in this room? And you can just spell them out.
Chairs.
Table. Water bottle, fire extinguisher.
Pictures.
I was just coming to you, sir. I'm going right behind you with that camera. Absolutely. Cleaning. There's a lot of things, and these are just things you need to think about. I always say when I'm in a movie theater with my kids that if something happened, I'm going to yell, everyone throw your shoes. Because everyone has shoes on. I'm going to pray it's ladies' night and there's a lot of high heels there. But everyone has them. It's not going to kill that shooter, but it would be enough that it may distract them. Again, don't be an easy target. When we do target practice, they're not throwing things back at us. You know, make yourself a hard target. Just some different improvised weapons. Had a lot of different people tell me they keep wasp spray at different locations throughout their house, near a back door, near a front door. Shoots far, you know, whatever you gotta use. You need to survive. Hot coffee in the face. Baseball bats, you know, think of your bedroom. I know a lot of people also have carry concealed, but people that aren't pro gun, you know, do they have baseball bats? So they have a lamp or something, you know, they know they can throw that. I want you to watch real quickly. Also, you need to recognize, in Sandy Hook, there was a six-year-old that recognized that that gunman either had a gun malfunction or was reloading and yelled, run. He saw that as an open window. So this is an actual video from a surveillance camera at an active shooter in Seattle at a campus. So watch, this kid is working over here. Gunman had already shot people. He's entering the building. This kid recognizes that he's reloading. And he's carrying OC spray, pepper spray. So I want you just to quickly watch this. So he comes in, he sprays him, and he grabs the gun from him. And I'm not telling you to be the hero, but this kid recognized that as an open window. But keep in mind, these gunmen are coming with multiple weapons and a lot of ammunition. So now, he sees him going for his waistband. And he holds him in a bear hug if you watch the full video till other people can get their help. So I'm not telling you to say run out and save the day, but if you see an opportunity like that, you can save people. So again, noise, movement, distraction, that's going to affect their shot. And do not pick up that weapon. You saw in the video immediately that he showed his hands after he used the fire extinguisher. And I tell people this with carry conceal also. If you have carry conceal and maybe you do stop the threat or you just happen to show up, make sure it's holstered. Do not be holding that firearm because law enforcement is going to be here and we're not asking questions when you arrive. So obviously, you can get out, get out. Understand those 13 years where they studied active shooter events, only 2% were more than one shooter. So oftentimes people say, I don't want to run. Well, there could be another shooter. But if you truly look at statistics, it's usually a lone wolf. Also keep in mind, if you need to break a window to get out of a building, the strongest part of the window is the center of the window. So you want to try to break the corners of the window where the window's a little weaker. So again, you need to think about improvised weapons in that space you would use to break those windows. And this is just a picture. If you need to jump, get as low as you can and release. You can survive. So again, don't run at law enforcement. Look for cover and concealment as you're running out. I've stressed this a lot, and I know you guys as Neighborhood Watch program stress this. If you see something, you've got to say something. Be familiar with your local tip lines. Sounds like you have a wonderful relationship with Madison Police. Dane County is a tip line. Madison is a tip line. I don't care. Send the FBI message. Just if you have something you need to report and you're not comfortable actually reporting it, go to a tip line. I'll let you read these numbers. They kind of speak for themselves. But again, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. Go with your gut. I would rather check on a vehicle 100 times than that one time they didn't call and it actually was something. In situational awareness, I'm going to show you a really short video, and it is pretty graphic, so feel free to look away. I cannot stress situational awareness. I recently drove through Madison campus, and a girl walked right in front of my squad texting on her phone with earbuds on, and I thought a bomb could go off right next to her, and she went, no. We have lost our situational awareness due to these things, and I am guilty some days, but we cannot allow that to take over our focus. Think of your work day, for those of you that are retired. Think of when you're just sitting at home watching TV. Are you looking out the window? Are you aware of what's going on in your neighborhood? When you're driving into the neighborhood, are you only staring at the 10 and 2, or are you watching what's going on? So this video, I want you to watch for situational awareness, and it did make its way to social media. This is a live interview in Virginia. The reporter's doing a live interview. A former coworker who's obviously not happy with her is the one taping the video. And I see a lot of people shaking their heads. It is graphic. It's hard to watch. But I want you to watch their situational awareness. Is that you throughout the day that you're so focused, you're not seeing who else is coming into the room? And I'll go through it quickly so it doesn't play the whole thing. So again, they're doing a live interview. He's recording and approaching them.
Whatever that word is, because it's worth it. It's moderate quantity.
And you all are trying to...
It's maybe 1 to 2 feet from them.
And talk about...
They're so focused.
Want to share information and help us grow and develop to provide a better experience for safe tourism. We want people to come here and say,
I'll skip through that. So again, I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to prepare you. But think of that. You know, is the cashier so focused that they're not watching that a man with a gun just entered the store? You have to be aware at all times. And again, I brought you guys a bunch of helplines on this. If you are concerned about someone, and I'm part of the Parent Addiction Network. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. Great link to have in your Neighborhood Watch program. It's a local link in Dane County that law enforcement, district attorney's office, treatment, could put that together for families that may not understand what addiction is or what signs of drug or alcohol abuse are or what local treatments we have or how the Dane County Jail works, things like that. It's good to have these resources to get people help. So go home tonight, talk to your loved ones, talk about your plan. Let them know they have options. It's really interesting. In a lot of the schools, kids now are learning run, hide, fight, or they're learning avoid, deny, defend. Again, during that active shooter, that shooting at Easttown Mall, which was not an active shooter, it was a targeted victim, law enforcement heard kids yelling to their parents, we need to run, we need to run. Because the parents just wanted to hunker down and lock down and hide, because that's what we always did. So to hear kids saying that, it's empowerment. I have a book with you if you have kids or grandkids. This puts it, you have to put things into perspective for each age group when you talk to them. You can't scare them, but you have to prepare them. Also, if you have concerns for maybe your child, your grandchild's behavior, it's okay to ask for help. I've been involved in cases where the parents say, well, we should have gotten help, but we didn't think they needed it. Well, now something really bad happened. It's okay to ask for help. It is okay. I can't stress that enough. And in this day and age with video games, I don't know how many of you play video games in here, but Grand Theft Auto 5, any of these Grand Theft Auto games, if you're not familiar with them, they are horrible. I recently was at a teen killer seminar, and the presenter played a short clip from Grand Theft Auto 5, and it was very disturbing to know that there are young kids playing games where they're getting 400 bonus points for shooting a cop, or 200 points for shooting the lady whose car he stole. It's really disturbing. So again, maybe you give your grandkids a gift card or your kids a gift card for Christmas. That's what my in-laws do. And then I ask them, well, we need to see what kind of games you're playing. I need to know what's going on. And then this picture, that's actually a cell phone case. And I've seen these on search warrants, drug search warrants. It takes a community to raise a child, so please don't allow these things in your homes. I can't stress that enough. So I'm going to leave. I want to make sure we have time to talk. I'm going to leave you with this quote, and I did present to some sixth graders in the fall, and they knew who Theodore Roosevelt was. So I was like, we are going places. These kids knew who it was. So remember Theodore Roosevelt's quote. If, and I pray you never are, if you are ever in an active shooter event, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. But the worst thing you can do is nothing. You cannot just go down on your knees and pray that law enforcement or someone else will stop the threat. You need to have options, and you need to have a plan. And I really flew through this, because I wanted to make sure we had time to talk. So I thank my sheriff for being proactive and actually pulling someone to go out and have these conversations. I'm very passionate about this. I've actually responded to 2 active shooter calls in Dane County in the last year. They came out as an active shooter. They were not an active shooter. One was at an elementary school in Sun Prairie. It ended up being a shooting down the road. Another one was last year in DeForest. And 88 of us responded to DeForest when that call came in. And it wasn't, neither of them were active shooters, but we trained. So I guess you guys have anything to add, otherwise I'll open the floor up for questions. Yeah?
I'm just curious about one of your slides, a few slides ago, it said something to do with fight the intruder, or like,
it's probably under counter.
It's a tip thing. Oh, okay, don't take control of the fear of the bad guys. Hey, go to the next one, please.
Yep.
Somewhere the bad guy is like, oh, he's not really skilled. There was one of your slides that said, go ahead and fight them because they're not skilled.
That might have been the one. Might have been this one. And what that shows is the bad guy is usually not as highly skilled. This is actually from the Alice Institute. However, keep in mind some of these bad guys are going to the ranges, or they are former law enforcement, they are former military. But what that means is if you were to counter and suddenly be throwing things at someone, even a trained law enforcement officer who goes to the range every week, that's going to affect my shot. That's going to affect anyone's shot. When we did training at a school, and the shooter came in, which was my partner, with a fake gun, and the teachers all threw Nerf balls at her. And she went like this. She couldn't even hold the gun out. So and I apologize, I had to kind of fly through that for time. But that's what that's saying. I mean, it is gonna affect.
I just want to add this.
Yeah.
What I've been told is you shouldn't aggress to a suspicious person. Is that correct? I've gone right out of my house and called some guy walking in the dark between my neighbor's house and mine at like midnight, and said, can I help you? I mean, like, hey, I see you, and then he left.
You know, in this day and age, law enforcement, we deal with so many people that have mental health issues, drug and alcohol issues, that you don't know how stable that person is. So from a law enforcement, I would rather you call us and we deal with it. I'm not going to tell you to go out and do it.
Yeah. Even when
you're brave.
Walking, a guy walking through the lawns, I was telling everybody earlier, and I wanted to go out of my door and just walk right up to him and go, what's wrong with you? You know, or something like that. But I'm thinking, people told me he has a gun.
Yeah. You know, I guess we, again, no one calls the law enforcement to sit and have a good day. So usually when we respond, we're dealing with people that have mental health issues, drug or alcohol, or... Yeah. So I guess I would suggest having... You know your own. Yeah. Maybe you're trained in, you know, every... I would always call.
Yeah.
Be a good witness. That's what we tell people.
Okay.
Be a good
witness. Thank you.
Yep. I have two questions.
Yes.
May I ask that you use the microphone so everyone can hear?
Thank you.
Right there.
Is it on?
Okay. First of all, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming tonight to tell us all this information. I have two questions. The first is, if you know if there's a situation that's a lockdown, you talked about the phones being silent. For people that are outside that area that may be checking on loved ones, is it really safe to call them and ask how are you doing or what's going on or whatever, because they may or may not have remembered to silence their phones?
Absolutely.
You know.
And I think that's a hard thing. That's like saying, if there's a shooting at your workplace, tell your loved ones not to drive there. Well, guess what they're going to do? They're all going to drive there. But no, I do agree. Please don't, if they're in that situation, don't call them. That's easy for me to say, because I know I'm responding there. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you may put them in more danger. But it's hard to tell people that.
My second question is about when we report shots fired, and it goes to 9/11 or whatever, they take the information. I can't remember, they said someone will follow up with you, but what if nobody follows, no one follows up with you? I think that happened when I reported it like at 3:30 a.m. Nobody followed up and told me, but I figured it was okay to do that because there might be some coordination of on the computer of all the different people in that area that might have reported shots fired.
There actually was a call that it was a reckless driver. And in the call, when it was dispatched out, it said the caller would like a follow-up phone call. So I tell people, if you call something in and it may just be a suspicious vehicle, and you want contact, you say it. And that officer, usually they're very good about being that the immediate. Usually we're very good about it.
I have to work it out at the radio station.
I call it, sorry.
Yeah, we did. I did call a shots fired in the middle of the night, and I like 2 or 3 in the morning. That I think we were told later on was fireworks at Edgewood campus.
Okay.
But that's something I was going to ask you is. Is there a way to educate people that it is really a scoop, you know, to try to decrease the amount of noise? You know, I mean. If fewer people were putting off fireworks in the middle of the night, we wouldn't be saying to ourselves, oh, that's probably fireworks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not legal anyway. But
way above my pay grade. But no, that's a great question. We actually had some transformers blew up near an area where I work, and the number of people that called in was amazing that they all did, but yeah, I don't have an answer for that. Maybe going and asking for more noise ordinance, but after 9 p.m., that would be in violation. That's a tough one. But I will tell you, and I can't say this enough, don't ever feel bad about calling 911 for that. It's the one time someone doesn't call that scares me.
I've got a question regarding church.
Yeah.
I'm not sure at Queen of Peace, on an average Sunday, they have about 400 people in church.
Yep.
Celebration day, we'll have maybe close to 1,000.
Yep.
How do you clear it out, or what do you just have to fight?
Yeah. That's actually interesting. There's, and I can send you if you have my card information. There's some churches that are having more secure, like once the church is in session, they have ushers that actually patrol the outer area, and it's more secure now in the church. We have, and this is new to me, ushers that carry walkie-talkies that can communicate if something suspicious does arrive at church. There's some churches, I don't know too many in this area, that are writing policies that have ushers that are former law enforcement that are carrying. There is a whole, and it's very sad that we have to be doing that in our own churches. I was just at a church last Tuesday night, and I just spoke with their head counsel, and we talked about this. I said, your role may be to yell at people and tell them that's an exit, or your role may be keeping that church secure, but in Charleston, that shooter was in the church already. That shooter was already in that pew. That's why having these trainings and talking about it, it gets people thinking. And during the one church meeting, someone said, I already told myself I'm grabbing a bunch of Bibles and I'm just going to start throwing them. And I said, I did not say that. But I didn't think he would be okay with it. But it is sad. I actually just emailed another church with just some samples that the FBI and Homeland Security give us. That comes up all the time. And I always say, you need to work with your own legal department, your own risk department, because the fact that I said, even you have your ushers carry and now something happens, and you're liable. So I say that is where you work with your own departments. But FBI and Homeland Security do provide some studies that I have for churches that I can email you if you want to send an email.
In terms of texting 911, it's literally
911. Yep.
Just to know if I'm missing something.
Nope. And I have some handouts I didn't put out. If you'd like one on that, I can get it to you guys. But obviously, it's going to be more delayed. Calling 911 is going to be quicker. But when you have 500 people calling 911, understand if something happens and you have a lot of people here, it is going to be chaos in so many ways. You may not even be able to get out on your phone because so many people are trying to call. But yep, it's 911. And a lot of our domestic violence victims, I tell them that because if they're in a situation where they can't safely call, but they can text.
Yeah. One other question. So I understand your mom with the 14-year-old son. Any advice for how you would deal with having a small child?
That comes up even when we go to hospitals, or we recently were at a hospice center, where they say, what if you have people that can't move, or you're responsible for 10 of them, you can't get up to all of them. I can't tell you a perfect situation, but that's how you need to get into an area where you're creating distance. You can't control noise. That's when you need to get out, or you need to have a way to get that child safe and hit counter where it comes to them coming to that room and you have to do it. There is no good answer.
At work, we were told you always carry your cell phone and you know where those dead spots are. You know where you are. The other thing is, what other presentations do you do? You mentioned this one plus. It'd be really nice to see a presentation on all the different drugs and we recognize what they are and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't stress. We have got an opiate epidemic going on here between heroin and the oxys. Right now, I am pulled from general assignment. I'm just doing active shooter. But if prescription pill, if that's something you guys are looking for, I can definitely provide you with that or point you into the right direction. Madison PD had a wonderful Julie Rourke that was a detective that worked for them for many years, and she recently retired. But I can definitely get that because we can't talk about it enough. Even with our younger kids and their ADHD medications, the thought that kids know the value of those pills is really scary. Really scary.
How many people would be carrying, would be having a gun, carry concealed weapon, in a given situation. Because if you as a police officer are so well trained and you miss 70-80% of the time, I would not want the good guy to try to save.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what the culture that
so I usually don't go into guns a lot because I found that you have very anti-gun people and very pro-gun people. But what I tell people is, if you have carry conceal, make sure you are training. I can't tell you how many people will stay after and they say, oh, I have it, and my wife has it, she's got a pink gun. That's very often you train. And I can't make this up, this is real. I'll say, how often you train, and they said 4 years ago. So you need to be training, you need to be training with malfunctions, you need to be training with reloading, because that other gunman is going to have multiple weapons and a lot of ammunition, and you need to know that when you decide to pull that gun out. Carry conceal, and it's pretty heavy. And I don't give, you know, and there have been cases where that did stop the threat. There was a case, I think it was a Walmart, where the gentleman tried to save the day, and he had a carry conceal, and he was killed. You know, that's a thought I tell him. When you decide to do that, you may save the day, and there's a lot of people that train, and they're mentally ready for that, but you're also putting yourself as a traditional target. Being in the wrong place for I can't stress that enough, to train, and train with malfunctions. Yeah.
My question is there, have there been any cases of liability on the part of the employer? Like the employer hasn't done enough to ensure that?
Yeah. Another hand that I have with that I didn't put out. You guys are calling me out on all these. I should just empty my whole bag. That's come up. There's a general OSHA general duty clause or something that I read about in one of the FBI reports. I am not familiar. So to answer your question, I'm not familiar with any liability cases that have happened. Have I read articles where people have said, well, if my family member's in it and they weren't provided the training, that technically under the general duty, I mean, I'm not familiar with any cases, but I feel a lot more businesses are providing the training now, and I don't know if it's because of that. I truly think in the next couple of years you're going to see more on active shooters. Right now, the FBI, they're all putting more of these reports together on how to deal with it. I think you'll see more numbers on that. But I am personally going to 2 to 3 businesses a day, and I booked through December. So, yeah.
I think you can all hear me. How does the language difference? If you have someone who is not bilingual, but whom English is not a primary language, then what kind of difficulty do you get in to try to combat that?
As far as if they were the threat?
Yes. Or the victim and don't understand it.
Yeah. I mean, we deal with language barriers on traffic stops all the time. I mean, we do. Or we have EMS call and they don't speak English. I guess if they're the victim and you're trying to help them just using arms, like, get out. If they're the threat, I mean, they're not there to negotiate. They're not there to talk. They're there to hurt people. So, I mean, I guess I understand what you're saying, but truly that, hopefully you are far enough away from that person that you don't have to worry about what language they're speaking. But as far as if you're dealing with another victim, yeah, that could be an issue.
How easy is it to operate a fire extinguisher if you've never done that before?
Yeah.
Is there a place?
That is funny because people, I actually was not appalled. At a cafe, a fire broke out, and they were reading it as it told them. How easy is it to use? I guess I've used it on car fires so many times that it's pretty simple. But maybe read through it when you go home or before you leave here. Maybe what you do. That's like these businesses and schools that have emergency operations. No one wants to read it until the fire broke out, and they have to do it. They're not that hard to use, but you can also use it like this.
Bedazzle, can I just mention one thing on fire?
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, we learned something when the fire department talked. The fire spreads, it doubles in size every minute. So every minute you've got double the fire. So just think about what happens in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Your fire exponentially grows by that speed. That's all I want to add. Thanks.
Absolutely. And you saw it in that video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm in no rush to get out of here. I'll be cleaning up. I have additional handouts. If there's the one you asked about, ma'am, I can show you that handout. But thank you. Be safe. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. And our next meeting is, October 15th. Yeah.
November.
November.